This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abayim. Welcome everyone. We continue in Daf HaShavua. We're learning Meseches Ksubais, Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara on Tes Amud Aleph brought the statement of Rebbe Lazar that if a man says that he lived with his bride and her door was open, meaning she's not a Besula, somebody had relations with her, so a person is believed to render her prohibited to him. Shavya anav shechaticha di isura. Even though the Gemara asks, why would he be usur? But it's a svek sveka. Could be she had relations before she was even married to him, and even if it was after, maybe she was raped, maybe it was coerced. And the Gemara says it's talking about a scenario where it's only one suffik. And the Gemara wanted to challenge this. The Gemara said that maybe it's even simple. But ultimately, the Gemara says that even though we may have already known Shavi Anafsh Chatech Di Yisura, here there is a added chiddush that maybe you would say he's just not expert. He was single until now. How would he know exactly? Gemara says, no, we would believe him to render her prohibited to him. In the course of the Gemara had a question. The Gemara wanted to know that when Uriah went out to war and David lived with Bathsheba, David lived with his wife, ultimately Uriah was killed in battle and then David married her, but how was he allowed to marry her? The fact that he lived with her while she was married would have prohibited her to her husband and then to David as well. And Rashi says, look, everybody knew that David lived with her. Tosis explains, even though nobody saw the actual act of relations, but David himself personally knew that he lived with her, so how could David have married her after? So Gemara's first answer was, no, David raped her. That was the first answer. That's how the Chida understands the Gemara, that in fact David was ma'anis her. Others say, no, she agreed to it, but she was a katana. But now the Gemara's second answer, which is probably a little easier to accept, easier to understand, ki hada amar Reb Shmuel bar Nachmani amar Reb Yonasan, kal hayoytze lemelchemes beis David, anyone who would go out to the wars of the house of David, get krisos koisev leishta, would write a document of divorce for his wife. This is something that David learned from his father Yishai. Yishai asked David to go check on the brothers on the battlefield, and he says, "Zechsev yesachicha tivkoy l'shalom, go visit your brothers and seek out their welfare. Ve'es aruvasam tikach, and take their tidings. My ve'es aruvasam tikach. What does it mean? Take their tidings. Tani Rabbi Yosef, Dvarim." Hamuravin beinoy lebeinat, the matters which are mixed between him and her, in other words, their marriage. Basically, sever their marriage. That if somebody goes out to war, what's going to happen if he doesn't come back and the wife has no idea where he is? She's going to remain an aguna forever. So basically, you want to, if somebody goes out to war, they would divorce their wife. Rashi learns a stipulated divorce. That he says, if I don't return from the battlefield when everybody else does, then I am divorced to you from you retroactively. So therefore, Uriah went out to battle. And since he went out to battle, and ultimately he didn't return, so therefore he was divorced retroactively. When David lived with Bathsheba, she was already divorced. Now the difficulty with Rashi is, yeah, but what if Uriah would have come back? Then he's... The divorce is, I hereby divorce you if I don't return. But what if Uriah would have returned? Then he would not have been divorced from Bathsheba retroactively, and David would have lived with a married woman. So Tosfos is of the opinion that the divorce that soldiers would give their wives was an unconditional divorce. They would just divorce them straight up. And if they would ever come back, they would remarry them. Uh, But the way Rashi learns, it would seem to be difficult that how could David, just because Uriah gave the wife a document of divorce on if he did not return, but what if he would return? If he would return, then David has no right to live with her. By the way, on the fourth wide line, Tosfos brings Rabbeinu Tam, Koisiv get Krisos Legamri without a Tanai. And Tosfos ends off that according to Rashi, it's difficult. How could he live with her? Maybe he would return. So some say, well, David made sure that Uriah would be on the front lines of the battle. David made sure he would never return. Okay.
Didn't Uriah come back after David had relations with Bathsheba?
Okay, good question. That's a major question here, because Uriah did make a return. That's a very important question here. So the Rishonim say, well, even though he returned, but he went back to the war and he died. And the stipulation is that if the soldier doesn't return by the end of the war, they're divorced. And in the end of the war, Uriah did not return, even though he did make a guest appearance in middle. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Afanana mitanina. We also learned in the Mishnah that if a man says that I found that her door was open, she's usher to him, and we don't say he's not an expert. Well, let's try to remember. The Mishnah said that a Basula gets married on Wednesday. Why not Thursday? Because if he would marry her on Thursday, he would cool off, even though he would see that she's not a Basula. But by the time Bezdin would convene on Monday, he would cool off. Amar Abaye, Afana Nami Tanina. Basula Nisis Liyam Ravi. Basula gets married on Wednesday. Liyam Ravi in Liyam Hamishilai. Wednesday, yeah. Friday, Thursday, not. My Taima, why doesn't he get married? Why doesn't Basula get married on Thursday? Mishamakure Daita. We don't want him to cool off. Ulamai, regarding what would he cool off? If it's that he sees that she's not a basula, and really he wants to go to the court and make her lose the ksuba, but by the time Monday arrives, he'll cool off and he won't end up making her lose the ksuba. He'll say, "All right, I'll give her the 200 zuz. Who cares? She's not a basula." So then, who cares? Why not? Is that what we're worried about? He's going to cool off and give her the ksuba. So give her the ksuba. If he wants to be meichel, if he wants to forego the ksuba, let him pay the ksuba. If it's to give her the ksuba, nesivla, let him give it to her. Ella la oisra alav. But rather, we're afraid that he's going to aser her on him. He's going to see that her doorway is open and realize that she's aser to him, and we're afraid he's going to cool off and not go to the court and say that she's usher to him. Now, what is his claim? Udekata and Taina. He's making a claim that she's not a basula. My love, dekata and Taina pesabasach. Is it not? He is saying her doorway is open, and since he's saying her doorway is open, we're afraid that he won't go to the court and say she's not a basula, but that implies that if he would go to court, she would be aser. Is a raya, is a proof that if somebody says Pesach pasuach matzasi, neman lo Yisrael alav. So Tosfos asks on Daf Beis the obvious question. Maybe really if somebody says Pesach pasuach matzasi, he's not believed to aser her to him. But Rashi said that when you say Pesach Pasuach, word's going to get out that you made that claim and Edim will come that she's not a Basula. So it's not a proof that if you say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi that you're believed. Maybe you're not believed, but you're going to elicit the coming of witnesses. And of course, witnesses are believed. So we read that Tosfos. Tosfos said, well, we would never make such a takana if not for the fact that some women would be usher just based on his taina of Pesach Basuach Matzasi, namely by Ishes Kain or Bas Yisrael Chusmin Bas Gemol Shana V'Yamechad. So here we're learning that she gets married on Wednesday, so he should be able to say Pesach Basuach. Says the Gemara, no, really, I'll tell you, if a man says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, he's not believed. We can't accept it. And what kind of claim would he be making? Loi dekata en tainas damim. We're talking about he makes a definitive claim that I lived with her and there's no blood. So maybe really, a person who is getting married does not have believability to say Pesach Basuach. So why does the Basul get married on Wednesday? Because we're afraid he's going to cool off. Cool off from what? Cool off from saying that I lived with her and there's no blood. In other words, maybe he is not believed to say Pesach Masuach, because he's not expert enough, but what we're afraid he would have claimed, and the claim that we're afraid he'll cool off from is she didn't have any blood. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. You ready for this? Fasten your seatbelts. Rabbi Elazar says that a man is believed to say she's not a basula to make her aser to him, but of course not to make her lose the ksuba. A man can't say on his own, make a claim that is not provable, that she's not a virgin, and therefore I don't want to give you the ksuba. He could say she's not a basula, and therefore she's aser to me. A person could create an isra on themselves, but not to make her lose money. I mean, how could he make a claim that's cannot be substantiated? He's the only one who can know such a thing and make her lose the ksuba. That was the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. No, he's even believed to make her lose the ksuba. Ha'aymer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. If a man says, I found her doorway open, Neman Lahafsi the ksuba, so he's believed to make her lose the ksuba. How could you just make somebody else lose money based on a claim? There's no way to substantiate your claim, so how could you take money away from her? As we're going to see on Daf Yod, he's backed and bolstered by a chazaka. And a chazaka is a dynamic of presumption that he's telling the truth. Namely, he just married this woman and paid $100,000 to make a wedding. Now he's going to have all that wedding, all the money he put into the wedding is going to go down the drain so he could save a couple of bucks and not give her the ksuba. We have a chazaka, ein adam tareach besuda, for nothing. This man just spent a lot of money on the wedding. And now, for the sake of not paying her a ksuba, he's going to make the wedding pointless just to make her lose 200 zuz. So that is a presumptive status that he's telling the truth. Normally we say you can't just make a claim to make someone lose money. You need some basis for that. You need something to substantiate. But here there's a presumptive status that if he's saying she's not a basula, and basically therefore they're not married anymore, and they're going to have to throw out the wedding pictures and throw out all the thousands of dollars they sunk into the wedding, that why would somebody do that unless it's the truth? Okay, so that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Pasha, yeah,
does the dowry come from the woman's side?
The ksuba is like this. Ksuba is a document that says that in the event that he divorces her or that he dies, he has to pay her 200 zuz, X amount of money. However, if the reason why the marriage was annulled is because she's not a basula, she's not what he thought she was, so then he was fooled, so then he doesn't owe her this money. So the ksuba is an amount of money the husband owes the wife. It's to ensure that the husband does not divorce the wife. It's some kind of insurance for the wife that the husband doesn't divorce her. So if in fact she's not a basula, if she's not a virgin, then the husband has a right to terminate the marriage and void the ksuba that he would give to her, that he would ordinarily give to her. And the reason we believe him, even though he has nothing to substantiate his claim that she's not a basula, is because ein adam toreach besuda umafsida. A person would not go through the bother of making a wedding and then cause it to be lost. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, "My kamash malan. What is the novelty of this ruling? What's the chiddush here? Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah. Coming up, we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis. Ha'eichel etzel chame b'Yehuda. One who eats with his father-in-law in Yehuda. Shaloi be'edim. Without witnesses that are present when he's alone with the woman. Eino yachal etzel b'sulam. He cannot claim, oh, what happened? He cannot claim when he marries her, she's not a basula. Because he's secluded with her. The practice in Yehuda was the groom and bride would go into seclusion before the wedding, so that they would be familiar with each other, and they would not be embarrassed of each other at the time of relations. And this was the practice in Yehuda. They would not do this in the Galil. So if somebody goes to his father-in-law's house for Shabbos, and there are no witnesses between man and woman, he can no longer say, "Hey, I thought I was marrying a basula. She's not a basula. No kidding, she's not a basula. You went into seclusion with her. We don't know what you did. We'll say you're the one who made her not a basula." But Yehuda hudalai matzitan. In Yehuda, he can't say she's not a basula. Haba galil matzitan. In the galil, he could say she's not a basula because he did not seclude with her, and we have no reason to think that he was the one who made her not a basula. But in Yehuda, he cannot claim she's not a basula. So Gemara is going to challenge that. Why in Yehuda can he not claim she's not a basula? If he's saying, look, I know I secluded with her. I did not have relations with her. I thought I was getting a basula. Turns out she's not a basula. I know it wasn't me. So he should be believed to at least asser her to him because shavya anavshe chaticha disura. He's sort of taking a neder. She's asser to him. Ulamai, what claim can you not make in Yehuda? Ilo isra alav, if it's to asser her to him, bihuda amayloi, why can't you make that claim in Yehuda? El alav, it must be. You know the claim he can't make? He can't say, you're not a basula, and therefore I don't want to give you the ksuba. Even though, why would he want the wedding to be, the whole wedding that he sunk money into to go lost? We say as follows. We say, he was the one who lived with her, and he forgot. Or he thought he was only doing hara. He was just being intimate with her without penetrating, and he didn't realize that he did penetrate. So in Yehuda, he's not believed. El alav, it must be lafsi the ksuba. It's to cause her to lose the ksuba. But in Galil, he would be believed. Now, what is he claiming? Udekata and taina. What is he claiming? My lav dekata and taina special besuach. Is he not saying that I know her doorway was open and I'm claiming that she should not get the ksuba because I know her doorway was open. She's not a basula. So we see in Galil, you're neman to make her lose the ksuba with a taina pesach pasuach. And the Gemara says, no. Maybe the only time you're neman in Galil to make her lose the ksuba is a definitive taina that she doesn't have blood, which we know, it's no rocket science. You live with the woman and she doesn't have blood. So that's a claim that you cannot question. But maybe if he says her doorway was open, he would not be believed to make her lose the ksuba, because maybe he thinks he knows what it means for the doorway to be open, but he doesn't really know. Dekatan tainas damim. No, maybe it's talking about where he's claiming that she did not have blood. Okay, Rabbi said that was Daf Tes. Thank you everybody for joining. Tomorrow night we have an amazing topic about the history and destiny of the city of Yerushalayim, its name, and all the mystical letters that combine the word Yerushalayim. Have a great night, everyone. Baruch of Hatzlacha. Kol Tov.
Rabbi, have a temporary question?
Sure.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.